Willkommen zurück zur Duo Digitale ECD Sommer Spezialserie Teil 3. ECD Revisited nennen wir das ganze Jahr. Und wir blicken zurück auf die Expertinnen und Experten, die wir beim ECD im Juni dieses Jahres auf der Bühne hatten. Und da ist ein Thema natürlich in der ganzen Branche eines der großen Themen. Ich weiß nicht, wie es euch geht. Aber das Thema Lieferung und Packaging und Zeit zwischen Bestellung und Ankunft von Ware ist wirklich eines der wichtigsten im Digitalhandel. Weil es eben neben all den Mitstreitern in dieser Wertschöpfungskette oder Supply Chain eben auch den Konsumenten direkt betrifft. Es ist emotional, es ist komplex und, das ist aber wirklich die gute Nachricht, es gibt neue Ideen und Lösungen, wie das alles wirklich verbessert werden kann. Sei es durch KI, sei es einfach durch neue Logistik, auch Partnerschaften, neue Anbieter, die mit neuen Überlegungen an die Sache rangehen und da wirklich neue Ideen in den Markt bringen. Darüber gibt es in diesem Panel, das jetzt gleich folgt, sehr viel zu hören. Es ist geradezu ein Appell an alle, weniger Pakete zu versenden durch eben smarte Lösungen und aggregierte Lieferwege. Wenn ihr das jetzt gleich anhört, wisst ihr genau, was ich mit Appell meine. Denn der gute Johannes hat da mal richtig das Momentum genutzt und wirklich einen Appell an uns alle gerichtet. Natürlich ist das jetzt in echt, wenn ihr es hört, viel interessanter, als es durch mich so erklingt. Daher will ich euch gar nicht länger auf die Europalette spannen hier und euch einfach nur viel Spaß wünschen beim Panel Fulfillment Across Europe, das One Size Fit It All und euch dann einfach nächste Woche zum Finale, zur vierten Spezialausgabe, dann wieder willkommen heißen. Insofern, ciao Kakao aus Italia, bis bald.
Willkommen in der Welt von Duo Digitale, in der die Zukunft des E-Commerce schon heute beginnt. Alexander Otto und Marcel Brindöpke führen durch das Labyrinth der digitalen Revolution. Von den neuesten E-Commerce-Trends bis hin zu den disruptiven Technologien, die den Markt formen. Bist du bereit?
Give it more for our wonderful guests, Jan Bartels from Zeos.
Woo!
And very special ex-trade bite now exporto Katrin Hose.
The one and only.
And Johannes Bandig from TB International.
You know the rules, all of you. We do a little introduction round. And we, as always, want to know not just what you do in your business life. Everybody can read it on LinkedIn, right? So we want to know, Jan, yes, what is your role? But what would you do when you're not working? That's interesting for me.
So, I mean, I'm Jan, SVP Zeos. I'm a builder. I love to build stuff. I build Lego with my kids. I build a sprinkler system in my garden. So all type of construction work. And I would even help you with your terrace if you don't get it finalized in the next day.
Wes Yao, he also offered his garden services today. Wonderful. Okay, we can do this. All right, Katrin, what about you?
Yeah, Chief Commercial Officer at Exporto. And yeah, when I'm not working, I live together with my boyfriend close to Würzburg in my own home. On nearly 2,000 square meters with a lot of garden. So gardening. And then, yeah, I'm the oldest of my of five siblings. And they always keep me busy, to be honest.
So oh.
Spend some time with family and friends. And yeah.
Great. Johannes, how big is your garden that you have to do every day after work?
Oh, honestly, I have a small garden, but I have the luxury that I have a neighbor who loves to take care of that.
No way.
Yes, it was absolutely fantastic. Last weekend, I was away and got a WhatsApp. Hey, Johannes, do you mind if I mow your lawn? And I was like, oh, well, I'm not at home, so please take care of it. So it's a big fun. Thanks a lot for that, guys. Now, yeah, as a key job, I try to sell T-shirts on Zalando. But other than that, I got a small daughter basically taking every 3 minutes currently off our life. So this is a good day for us because I got some sleep.
Okay, thank you so much, Don. Let's dive into this.
Let's get started and get some infos out of you on behalf of our visitors here in the room. Johannes, starting with you. I mean, you're the one who wants to sell stuff, like you're the person who sits on the assortment and you have two service providers more or less here, with whom you work. I think we can disclose this. So when you spoke to them, What were your top priorities you addressed when it comes to logistic warehousing, shipment, cross-border commerce, which these two guys won you over with?
Yeah, a little bit repetition of what I did, I think, just half an hour ago, where I gave like a little bit of our insights of our history on Zalando. Actually, we started ZF as, I think, as one of the first customers of Jan. So basically, it was back in the days, 2019, we were a B2B partner of Zalando, and then we had these nice discussions with their buying team telling us, okay, guys, how about moving to partner program? And like a lot of brands going to be like, oh, what? But we said, yeah, okay, cool. And how do we do that on the best way possible? And then basically we started going for ZFS in order to have the same market press or the biggest market approach possible. And this is when we started ZFS, I think in 2020, roughly. So quite a few years already. And with Catherine, I just had it. I think the business started last year here at ECD. I was a bit late to the warm-up party, and Julius and my team, they were already four drinks deep into negotiations when I arrived then. And this is how it kickstarted. And basically, yeah, Catherine is supporting us with all the markets where Jan can't help us, like the UK, where we only are able to do dropshipping, or Norway. So we basically try to have the biggest sales area possible. So we use both of them.
Cool. And Jan, coming to you, also representing ZEOS today, I know ZEOS evolved from ZFS more or less as a kind of service provider. This is one of the most exciting B2B projects, I think. You're going to start here because it's based on your presence in all the European countries so far. So you have a great kickoff. And yeah, what were your ideas when you tried to develop out of ZFS, which was a pure logistics solution for Zalando, to develop ZEOS out of it as a multi-platform logistic and service and tech solution? Maybe you can use also the time to tell us a bit more about what ZEOS actually is, what is the magic behind it, and why you're starting it.
Yeah, so I mean, the main idea behind ZEOS was building an operating system for the fashion and lifestyle industry across Europe, with the mission to help brands and retailers to unlock Europe, because Europe is a pretty complex market. Every market is different, different carrier requirement, different customer requirements. And we have solved that when building Zalando. So we've grown it to the 15 billion euros business it is today. And that's where we thought, like, okay, let's now use the capabilities and help brands to also grow into Europe. And basically, the operating system consists of three different layers: logistics, software, and services. And with the logistics, we give brands access to the most advanced fashion fulfillment network that Europe has to offer. So basically, the convenience experience that Zalando customers already enjoying that much today. And with software, where Tradebyte is, for example, also part of that software layer, we unlocked Europe by opening marketplaces, by giving you the tools in order to trade on the different marketplaces, by giving you the tools to optimize your stock levels. We're working on helping you to optimize return rates. And then on services, we will add further services on top, like content production services or also customer care service. So basically everything that you need to unlock Europe over time.
Katrin, Exporto claims to offer a very easy solution for cross-border commerce. You even call it borderless commerce. Is that right? Mm-hmm. We paused that from the website, I think. So can you tell us how a service like Exporto could emerge? So where did you come from? What is the story? And what obstacles do brands face normally when it comes to that topic? Why do they need your help?
So maybe I start with the obstacles first. So as Jan already mentioned, Europe is quite complex and you have to differentiate per market. So on the one hand, many brands struggle with the various carriers and the expectation the end consumer has in the market. You have to keep track of very boring bureaucratic topics like tax and customs, for example. Then you sometimes I have to think about our first starting points where we always said, oh man, how the hell can't they have EINs?
Exactly. Yeah.
Now the brands are lacking Swiss tariff codes.
All right. It's a new EAN.
That's new era. So still missing data definitely is an obstacle. And probably the biggest challenge is the very complex world of handling various fulfillment centers or various warehouses. And actually at X40, we believe that you could manage more or less whole Europe out of one stock within Germany. And what we do is we cover the whole process end to end. So from transportation to tax to customs, everything. And this is why I believe that we are so successful, because you don't have to handle X contracts, some for import, some for export, some for transportation. And yeah, seems to work.
One-stop solution. Yeah. I mean, when we talk about logistics, we have to speak about efficiency, of course, which is one of the, I mean, everyone needs it, but I think you all agree that logistics also have to be very efficient and cheap, more or less. So Jan, when you founded ZFS, when it was for partners on Zalando, at least when we thought about it, were like two big issues, right? I mean, you can save costs on the one hand, and you're maybe quicker to the consumer and, yeah, obeying to all the rules Zalando had. Would you say that this is still the value drivers in logistics? And if so, why is ZEOS or Zalando able to outperform on these two KPIs?
Yeah, so I mean, actually, it was the other way around. We thought about what can we do in order to make the consumer experience better on Zalando, and then came up with the idea of Zalando Fulfillment Solutions. Why? Because if you start in the marketplace business, then suddenly consumers are receiving dozens of parcels, right? They place an order with a t-shirt from Classics, from TB International. There is maybe a jeans in there from Paper Jeans. And in a dropship model, they receive two parcels, and then maybe even the Zalando wholesale is sending them another parcel. Not a great experience for the customer, because if you're not a town, then you start chasing all these places. One is at the fuel stop, the other one is at the tailor, whatsoever. Not a really, really great experience. And we thought like, okay, how can we get that all back into one parcel? And that's where it started, where it was A, around convenience. But then there was a pretty nice side effect that actually we even hadn't sorted through at this point in time. It rather was like, okay, we saw we can also be economically pretty attractive, because now suddenly we get it all into one box and we have only once the shipping costs, and we can pass on as the shipping costs. In hindsight, super easy, yeah? But we didn't see it at that point in time. That accelerated really our growth. So that's how it started. But then we also understood from you, from our brands that are working with us, that serving everything out of one stock pool is important, because suddenly you start having some stock in your own warehouse, some in ZFS, maybe some even in other fulfillment systems like Fulfillment by Amazon and the likes. And then you're running out of stock in one of these fulfillment systems while still having stock in another one. And brands asked us, can't we put everything into your network and you help us fulfilling on all the different channels that we are active on? And that's how the idea of ZEOS was born. And then we extended that value proposition towards similar as what you just said, Katrin. You just need one integration. Can you straight buy it? With one integration, you get into all the marketplaces. You are directly integrated into ZEOS. You don't need all the carrier integrations on your own. We already work with more than 40 carriers across Europe, have more than 160 carrier integrations across the European continent. And you get that all with just that one integration into Tradebyte and ZEOS, or also sometimes other integrators. One integration will do the trick for you. We'll provide you with one control panel. You've heard us talking also about more analytics that we develop via ZEOS, so that you have all the visibility on your stock levels, on your sales, on your profitability per channel, and you can start optimizing on these figures. And yes, in the long run, we believe we can also give that one parcel benefit also to sales on other marketplaces, because today we already have goods from, for example, Marks and Spencer and from Paper Jeans in our warehouse. They both sell on marketplaces also other than Zalando. And we could already today fulfill these goods in one box. And that unlocks another level of profitability, but also another level of sustainability for the planet. We believe that in the mid to long run, we can avoid 100 million parcels per year. And that means that we save some 60,000 to 70,000 tons of carbon, which is the equivalent of the annual emissions of 50,000 cars. And that's quite substantial. Yep. Therefore, the idea, and sorry for the somewhat lengthy answer.
No worries.
But I'm so excited about it.
I mean, guys, did you really get that, what Jan just said? Because we are working extremely hard on that topic currently. Can I, maybe we include the, how many people in this room are currently happy with their profit margins? How many people have just listened to what Jan said, with how many unnecessary parcels are shipped across Europe currently? Do you guys know who's earning money on that?
Is DHL in the room?
The elephant again.
So think again. Who's happy with profit margins? We really, really, really need to work on this together, guys. And this is one of the biggest industry problems we are currently having. Creating so much unnecessary waste and profit erosion. And we have added yesterday lots of hours on it. If we solve this, there are so many unnecessary discussions off the table. You can't fix this same cost volume with discussing fees on a platform. It's so much more money to get out there, guys. So I encourage everyone to work on this.
I think, you know, this was kind of a mic drop moment, right? So we can just...
We're done.
Wow. Thank you.
Yep.
That was deep.
I think, I think it's something which you don't see on the first sight, right? You have to really think about it and what it means and what you spend on logistics just by not, I mean, we cannot charge the end customer. I think that ship has sailed. So we have to reduce the packaging.
Yeah, one third of our dropshipping orders are unnecessary. One third. And if you have been to the last class I've been giving you, currently doing 10 million pieces per year on Zalando. And one third of our dropshipping volume is, so to say, unnecessary.
This reflects, if I calculate right, about 10, 12 million euros you spend unnecessarily on shipment.
It's a little bit less because we do a lot over Jan. What if it was, then I wouldn't be sitting here. I would be sitting on in the warehouse as we did yesterday.
Yeah. But Jan, it's just stick with you, because when we go one step back and recapitulate what we heard when it comes to having unified stock versus divided stock, can you walk us through the effort you have to manage several stocks versus the effort you have when you manage a single stock, which also means you have to carry up everything there and then you have to forecast maybe a bit different than you have to do in your own warehouse. So what does it mean on a brand side to have a unified stock compared to other solutions?
I mean, currently, like Jan is one of our partners. We're also using FBA to be absolutely transparent, and we are also doing FBA. So we have a lot of different stock pools, of course, which we need to consolidate in our ERP, and we're doing daily forecasting basically, and at the end of the day, in order to have the correct stock volumes in the correct warehouse, because this is our main cost driver at the end of the day. If we don't do this properly, we have too much net stock sitting at Jan's warehouse, then he is unhappy because he has shelves that are not used properly and just getting dusty, and I have to pay for that. So basically, this is one of our core functionalities. And of course, the less stock foods you need to manage, the easier it gets at the end of the day.
Yeah. Okay. We dig a bit deeper into this, how it can be done and how you do it. But coming to you, Katrin, I mean, you're on a sales tour, right? You just said you couldn't even see anything because you have so many appointments, which speaks for the interest in your service. And I would assume that speed and cost play an important role in many of your discussions, right? Because when it comes to speed, you have to match the requirements of a platform. When it comes to costs, you have to match the requirements from the CFO. What is more in the discussion right now with potential customers?
Actually, we have both in our pitches, to be honest. But if we dive a little bit deeper with the potential brand, we most of the time can convince them that the costs perspective needs more attention than the speed. Because as we just heard, it's so time intense to take care of these various locations of warehouses to manage the inventory. And in the end, the goods are always there where you currently don't need it. So it's a lot more. And as long as you do not ship medicine or food, I guess one day slower, it isn't, let's say, that much of importance. And usually what we do is we ship overnight. So overnight we are in, let's say, all our target countries. So probably we are really one day slower than compared to having a warehouse in the country. But yeah, the cost thing is definitely the more important, at least currently, the more important one. And with that overnight shipping, we still match the platform SLAs.
So they're more relaxed, or they become more relaxed in last years when it comes to shipment targets?
It really depends, because we have a little bit of buffer, obviously. So for if we stick with Zalando, we have to deliver it in 5 working days, for example, to Switzerland, and we are to 2 to 3. So even...
Okay.
Yeah, so we don't have any trouble with that, to be honest. And as long as we stick to that, I don't think that we run into trouble.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very good. Jan, economies of scale represent the best ways to leverage efficiency. This is what we all think is true. Is therefore, we call it a one-stop solution, right? One-stop solution like sales, really the best way for a brand to use it? Or do you say also scenarios for other approaches maybe?
So I think at the end of the day, I think for many brands, a service like yours will make a lot of sense because you can serve all the needs of your B2C customers, be it your own D2C, be it different marketplaces out of one place, only one integration that keeps it simple. But we also know that reality sometimes is different. So I guess you all have solutions where you have certain obligations, like, I don't know, either you own already a warehouse, which is pretty new, or you just closed a contract with a certain 3PL. And therefore, of course, you also want to use these assets. Or you have a strong brick and mortar business and a lot of your stock is also sitting in your stores. I mean, for all these circumstances, we need to find solutions and we also provide solutions. We have also shipping solutions where you can hand over the parcels into our middle mile and last mile network. And then you can also decide whether you want to use our returns network standalone, so that you only use our returns infrastructure, and you can then decide whether you want to have the stocks going back into either into one of your stores or your fulfillment centers or back into the ZEOS network. So therefore, I think in the long run, when we talk about also what Johannes was just referring to, if you want to avoid these 100 million shipments a year, if you want to save all these carbon emissions, then I think an end-to-end solution will serve many brands very well. But in the short and midterm, I think we need multiple solutions, also including Exporto, which I think delivers a great service. And also for as Johannes also mentioned it, right, complementing also these solutions. So therefore, there is room for many players.
Full?
Wonderful. And Johannes, I mean, you were advocating for this service before, but would you bet that this one partner for everything becomes standard for brands? Or do you also see the benefit of not having everything compiled at one partner due to dependency or even the reason that they could be specialists in some fields?
As Jan mentioned, specialists will ever always be there. But I really, really like your question about dependency, because this is always like, oh no, you can't be too dependent on one partner. Our founder has the same saying, there's no difference whether you're 75% dependent on someone or 100% dependent. Either you do something properly or you don't do it. And what's maybe important from a brand perspective to add what Jan just said, he has a lot of really interesting services, but you need to understand how he's working in order to work properly with him. And you have to do your homework on your own end. If you just feed stuff into a ZFS warehouse sitting there, you're going to burn a lot of money, no matter how good the shipping fees are. But that's your homework. You need to be very good at replenishing, forecasting, and deciding which article to put where. And at the end of the day, I had it in the other class, this is what a good merchant is doing. And we are a merchant on a platform, selecting prices, correct product, correct volumes. And if you manage that properly, then both of them are good solution partners.
Yeah.
But if you're not, then it's going to be very painful.
Yeah. And if I may add, coming back to the dependency, this is all working in chains, right? So if you have even 4 partners and one is screwing up, the other 3 can be brilliant. There's no parcel towards the end customer. Right?
Exactly.
It's not really a backup system, which...
Yeah. I mean, Katrin, coming to you, so as we heard, we could be interpreted as a one-size solution for cross-border, at least, right? So how easy is it for you to generate economies of scale, and what are, let's say, the drivers for efficiency here?
Maybe to close the conversation on the previous point, obviously over here we have a lot of fashion brands, but there are also a lot of different assortments out there. So depending on needs, everything could look differently, I would say. And you need to adapt to different assortments, different runtimes, stuff like that. And in the end, there is something out for everybody, I would say. And when it comes to efficiency, I mean, besides all the things we already talked about within Exporto, obviously the fuller the truck, the better the cost. So we try to consolidate the goods of our various brands we're taking care of. And then we also carry the last mile carrier contract. So whenever we increase our parcel volume, then our costs for transportation with the last mile goes down. And then we have the possibility to reduce last mile carrier prices also for our clients again. And this is how it works.
Okay. Yeah, maybe the next kind of topic we want to focus on is interesting as well, because it adds to kind of what you offer to the customers. It's like value added services. So this is what we want to come to now. It could be a very, very good thing in logistics to do that and to provide customers with value added services. Jan, I mean, basically, or asking, do customers ask for these? Is this already a topic?
Yes.
Good.
Value-added services are a topic, but I think more and more of these value-added services are rather happening in as digital world, right? You sometimes still have customers asking for, can we have the label on our box?
Yeah, that would be the next question, yeah.
And actually, I mean, it's converging all to brown boxes anyhow. So what we can do, we can customize labels and so on. But we did a lot of consumer research, and the box is not that big differentiating any longer. Where the value add is coming from, addressing topics like what Johannes just said, right? You need to manage your stock. You need to manage your merchandise. You need to manage your stock levels. So therefore, we are building tools like our replenishment engine that gives you recommendations of how much do you restock in order to keep the right stock coverage and don't burn money on storage fees. Mm. We are building value-added services in the area of size and fit capabilities as part of our second layer, software layer. So on the Zalando side, huge capabilities have been built in order to reduce size-related return rates by making sure customers are not ordering the wrong size, by giving them better recommendations. These are tools that we are going to externalize in the future to also help you, for example, on your own e-com, to bring return rates down, because returns is a main detractor for profitability. And these are rather the value-added services that we are seeing that have a huge potential in them.
Can we come back to the brown boxes again? Is that an actual term?
I don't know whether brown boxes, I don't know how you would talk about it, but I mean, when we went through your warehouse,
we're shipping brown boxes.
Well, definitely. And yeah, but you know, no label, nothing on it, no prints. So that is...
Many logistics people at least talk about brown boxes, but of course there is a label on it. But I mean, look into modern warehouses. You see a lot of cardboard because, I mean, customers perceive brown boxes as the most sustainable way of receiving goods.
Okay.
If you ship in white boxes, even if from an ecological footprint, basically have a very similar footprint, they are not perceived as sustainability friendly as the brown box or paper bag.
Okay.
What do you guys think? Would you agree?
Who's in favor of white boxes to ship out?
No, you heard it first at the ECD, the end of the era of white boxing.
Maybe we should ask Thorsten or Xavier from Hugo and Adi how they think about it from a branding perspective, or maybe later over.
Yeah, I'm not here. They knew why.
Yeah.
They knew why.
Yeah, but speaking about value-adding service also in cross-border commerce, is that also a topic? Because I can imagine that you can generate more revenue out of just, you know, squeezing costs by dragging all the stuff into your lorry and make that more efficient. So what kind of services are customers asking from your position? I mean, cross-border requires your tariff numbers and taxes and all this. Is this something where they're going to ask, or do they solve this on their own?
No, absolutely. So we offer fiscal representation in the non-EU countries. We also enrich data, for example, for the necessary tariff codes, sometimes even weight if necessary. So this is definitely something we offer, let's say, local returns centers, so that the end consumer returns parcels with their ordinary local hero to a local address. And then depending on different criteria, we also open the box and do a plausibility check and then consolidate it again and ship it back to the brand's warehouse. So this is all we offer already. And obviously, as we know, not only across platforms, but also with the own shops, what is going on in the market, in which area is getting ordered what. So we also dive deeper into the data topic, for example. We offer connections to marketing agencies. So whenever you are not yet, let's say, fully in place regarding local or localization of content, for example, or advertisement and stuff, we build connections there. This is nothing we do in-house so far, but you never know. We'll see. Yeah, but there is a lot of going on right and left by shipping boxes.
Is the tech stuff a separate service of you, Catherine? I didn't know that, actually.
Actually, we have some brands with their who already carry a local fiscal representation, yeah. And some of them do it for us, so or through us. So yes, it's a.
Julius, we need to talk to you.
This replaces.
Have you ever done ICT tech stuff?
ICT tech
for the international ZFS warehouses?
No, not
maybe
yet.
We should talk.
It's it's not the European. So the IOSS, you mean? This is not yet what we do, but. Yeah.
Let's talk later.
This kind of replaces my question, what kind of service you would request. Maybe you can still tell us when you come to value adding services, what would you say as a brand or retailer would you really need most? I mean, as you said, I mean, you're really digging deep into how to be profitable, as I said, like merchant core jobs. And what are the value added services you would ask for?
So. Taking exact that position, I really love David's quote from the last Capital Market Day, increase profit pools and share them evenly. So 100 million in unnecessary parcels times the average price per parcel, and maybe we get a few percentage points of that, and then this is the best service Jan can offer, Joseph.
Like transferring money towards you, basically. Yeah.
As I just said, everyone needs to earn a fair dime. And if we find these freaking inefficiency, they make me crazy. 100 million unnecessary parcels.
Mm.
Yeah. How 100 people here in the room, everyone gets one percentage point. Or let's say Jan gets a little bit more because he's taking care of it all. And then even if we just split the 50 million parcel cost.
Yeah.
Imagine how many EBIT DR quotes would be good again. And how many discussions would you have? I need to pull out assortment from the platforms. We just need to do our homework, basically, guys.
If I may ask, and is this 100 million just outbound? So do we have to add another 50 to 60 million in returns? Or does it include returns?
Unfortunately, we already included. We didn't find the next 50 million. But I mean, if we grow this even faster, I mean, it's not just 100 million unnecessary parcels existing in Europe. Yeah. You add then size-related returns, yeah? So, I mean, that's the reason why I'm so obsessed also about these digital value-adding features, because if a customer orders two shoes in one box, two different sizes, it's clear that one will be sent back. And, I mean, that's a return that we can avoid altogether if we have the right tools in place. And for that reason, we really need to think about how can we make sure that we need to touch all the items in the logistics processes as little times as often. How can we avoid unnecessary parcels being sent around? Because every touch adds to the cost base and every parcel adds to the ecological footprint of our business.
Yeah, I think we all could agree to that, of course. I think also to the topic of value-added services, this leads us directly to a topic that we started the day with. We started the day with AI, and I think we should end it with AI. What do you say? We should talk about AI, maybe in terms of fulfillment and logistics.
Yes, because I think, and that's why we brought it up, because it adds kind of adds efficiency, because logistics is about great data, right? And when we had the pre-talks for this panel, and I said I don't know who it was. Oh God, AI again. But I do it anyway. So it's the last panel. Who cares? So it has a potential.
That's Ricky Gervais.
it was a quote, I admit. AI has the potential to make things more efficient. And maybe coming to you, Janusz, what would be your expectations? And maybe, and I know that you had the differentiation between Gen AI and AI. So where would you say could we use both in logistics?
So basically, I always tell ChatGPT is the best intern I ever had, solving so many problems for me in a very fast time and very efficient and not still making mistakes like an intern. So you need to take care of it. But jokes aside, I mean, if you want to do proper forecasting, you need support. We've got currently 350,000 EANs live on Zalando. I can't forecast that by myself. No chance possible. So this is currently the first really important use case, anticipating market behavior on a very short time perspective in order to put the correct products into Jan's warehouse. So this is basically my expectation on AI to get these really up and running. And I'd really love to benchmark our forecast against yours. We should really do this, Jan.
Totally up for it. We'll exchange on it tomorrow.
Yeah. We have the same train back. So if anyone's taking the 8 o'clock train, then we will find a slot to discuss
one away. Jet.
You can join the discussion then.
on forecasting.
Yeah.
Okay. So forecasting indeed is a good turn over to you, Katrin, because you have to, you know, forecast as well. So I'm pretty sure AI plays an important role for you as well. Do you already experiment it apart from ChatGPT, or how do you use this? Or what do you use to make your assumptions on what's coming next?
I mean, actually, we use it internally, for example, in the marketing team, be it via ChatGPT or HubSpot or so. All that generative AI is all over the place, I would say. And then we have kind of large language models in our own product where we do the tariff code. It's enrichment also for very complex topics like bundles or advent calendars, where you have all this mixed product roof. It's quite nice already. But yeah, obviously, especially the forecasting and predicting thing is something we have on our roadmap as well. And we are currently applying for some fundraising from our government. Let's see how far we get.
Could talk about it in 4 years then.
We'll see.
Yeah, I have time these days.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, maybe as the last AI question, but AI is fed by data, as we all know. So the better the data, the better the AI. With Zalando and Zeus, you sit on a mountain of zillions of data pieces. So you could feed any AI with brilliant data. So is that what you already do? Is that happening, or is this not happening?
I mean, you use data in order to train the models, right? And of course, to train the models, we use the data set that we have. Of course, we're also strictly separating data between different use cases. But for training the models, I think we have a really rich set of data. And I need to confess, I was a person saying like, oh, again, the AI question. I have that too many times.
I try to keep you out of video.
The reason is, I mean, AI is not a very new topic, especially not in logistics, right? I mean, the early 2000s, we have been calling it neural networks. Then in the 2010, we have been calling it machine learning. Now we're calling it stronger AI. I'll come to Gen AI in a second. But of course, we are using AI all over the place in the data we have. So we are managing a network of 12 different sites. One of the biggest problems in fashion with a broad set of more than 3 million SKUs that we have across these sites is, what do you put where in what quantity? And no way that someone with Excel figures that out. You need intelligent tools in order to manage such a network and put the inventory where you expect the demand. And that needs to be constantly reworked, and only AI will help you getting there. All the size and fit related topics. I mean, understanding based on a photo, what is the fit of a garment is super difficult task. You only get that with a big data source. And then you can understand, okay, how does this shirt actually fit? Because every size, especially when it comes to dresses, they have a different fit. You can still describe the size, but you can't describe the fit. But with AI, you can do that. I think the main difference now from AI going to Gen AI is that it basically democratizes AI. Suddenly, you have a way simpler interface
for everyone to use AI tools. And I think, yeah, I believe that will unleash a lot of potential in the business. And therefore, I'm a big fan of AI. I'm not such a big fan of talking in every panel about AI. That's the reason why I had that reaction.
But it's going to disrupt quite a lot of stuff. I mean, your introduction video, a few people doing content will definitely change the approach, I guess, in a few days.
Yes.
Matthias Hase, your head of studios, just had a pretty nice white paper on how to integrate Gen AI background images into your standard product pictures in order to create elevated content. I think it was some sort of snowboarding imaging, and the people were in Berlin in a normal photo studio. And I mean, it just imagine, or we use it for creating print designs. We have a big printing factory in Germany. And imagine how long did it take to create proper designs for printing in the past? How many freelancers did you need to hire? And how fast is it getting now? Just look at brands like, I don't know, Tegador, 2Y, DropSize. How are they able to bring out 100 new articles per day? Because they are just using it to create proper designs.
Yeah.
It's going to change every role in every company of us. And you just need to make sure you understand how you use it properly.
Yeah, but this is actually why we decided to bring this in, because it was in every single panel. So we wouldn't do an AI panel, but it is topic in through all topics that we are along that value chain, right?
Use that intern, guys.
Yeah. And then and you have a 3D printer everywhere instead of a pickup point. And then we don't ship any parcel at all.
Yes. Or maybe just need to make sure that this huge amount of new prints doesn't, you know, consume again the 100 million assets you want to save, right? That would be great. But yeah, I think this is our best time panel of the day, I would say, coming close to the end. So Jan, maybe starting with you, what were your learnings from the panel today, or what would you share for our spectators here in the hall? What should be their takeaway from this panel today?
So, I mean, from my perspective, we've seen there's a lot of challenges in our industry, a lot of challenges getting your e-commerce to Europe, but there are also great solutions out there. And therefore, don't be afraid, rather look at what solutions are here, what will come. Use Gen AI, because I also believe it's the best intern that you can have. And it's by now, I really like that quote. It's by now democratizing AI. In the past, it was a function of experts. Now everyone can use it. So therefore, don't be afraid of all the challenges that there are solutions out there.
Very good. Katrin.
So, yeah, I think there is a place for everybody and a solution for everybody. It's just to find out which one is the most fitting one for everybody's needs. And the potential is huge. I guess if we bundle our forces, we will make the best out of it. So I still love the industry with all its challenges. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to solve the next distressing things. So yeah.
Great.
So I just finish it up with this hunt. Let's go hunting for this 100 million parcels, guys. And then we can still have a lot of fun. And if you want to see how much fun we can have, check out the LinkedIn page of Jan's colleague Nacho, because we really had a lot of fun in the other panel. So, yeah, let's just do our homework together. And then this industry is going to turn itself.
Wow. Stop. Whew. And yeah, we end on that high note. And we learned that the other panel was funnier than this one. Thank you for that, Johannes. And we're going to work on this for next year without you.
It's okay.
So that's it. I call it a wrap. Thank you, these great experts.
Und damit schließen wir ein weiteres Kapitel der unendlichen Geschichte des digitalen Handels. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Hast du Anregungen oder Themen für zukünftige Folgen? Melde dich gerne bei uns. Bleib neugierig und informiert. Sende uns eine Nachricht an duo@tradebyte.com.